Hi, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. October is winding to a close. North Texas is finally seeing something approximating fall weather, and I'm here to share three sort of spooky short stories with you. As usual, I've recruited a couple of friends to help with the reading. Today, Thomas Jancis and Charlotte Kennedy are my additional readers. Their information can be found in the show notes on my website, bathtubmermaid.com. First up, here's Charlotte reading It's Raining Men.
Well, hallelujah, Aunt Beulah declared. It's just like that song, it really is raining men. I glanced out the window to see yet another pair of black trouser-clad legs slowly descending. That's not normal, I told her. Less messy than the time it was cats and dogs, though. But my aunt, who in truth was barely older than me, close enough in age to be my sister, really, was already pinching color into her cheeks and smoothing her cotton calico dress as she bolted for the door. Are you sure this is a good idea? Yes, come on. This kind of rain comes only once, maybe twice in a lifetime. You go and you catch one before his feet touch the soil, and he becomes the partner you always wanted. What if you miss, I asked. Some of the forms coming down weren't exactly compact. I'd noticed more than a couple of beer guts beneath the nondescript suits. Most of them just disintegrate. Makes the garden soil really rich, though. How do you think my mama grew such luscious tomatoes in this godforsaken place? Water and sunlight, I suppose, was my drawled response, like everyone else. But Aunt Beulah just gave me her, you know nothing, honey child, look. Then she pulled a barely there shade of lipstick from her handbag and used the hall mirror to make sure she got it on right. You coming? Her hand was already hovering over the lit-up doorplate. A touch of her palm would activate it. I thought about how Billy Ray had kissed me under the bleachers the other day when we were supposed to be catching critters for the biology lab. It'd been like kissing cold liver. Gross. Then I thought about my friend Rhonda Sue and how she had the softest, flowiest golden hair and got this sweet blush on her face whenever our eyes met during literature class, especially if we were reading poetry. Kissing her wouldn't be like liver, cold, hot, or drowned in ketchup, I thought. I think I'll have to find my ideal partner the old-fashioned way, like back on Earth, by meeting them. Suit yourself, Lizanne. And she disappeared out the door. Me? I went to the computer to call up the almanac. Rhonda Sue and I might end up better as just friends who practice kissing sometimes. And there has to be a day when the sky rained women, right?
Next, we have Thomas Jancis giving his interpretation of a story I call Accidental.
So what exactly were you doing with the Dremel? Detective Bloom had seen a lot of murder scenes before, but he'd never before witnessed anything that was so gory and so pathetic at the same time. The perp, Chaz French, pushed his blood-spattered spectacles further up his nose. His eyes were dilated and his face was pale. Shock at what he had done, no doubt. The ME would be done soon, though, and the guy from psych would come, and they'd be able to wrap the poor guy up in a shock blanket and take him somewhere cleaner. Somewhere more secure. Somewhere without any power tools. Some men for always had terrible sinus problems, the man answered in a shaky voice. But this last month of the high ragweed count and, oh, she's been miserable. She wakes up choking on mucus, her head constantly throbbing. She can't eat or sleep or think. Miserable. Bloom noticed the perp was still speaking of his dead wife in present tense. He hadn't realised he had murdered her. That happened a lot. With accidentals. Eventually, the reality would set in and they'd relive their violent act. But right now, French was as much a victim as his late spouse. Yeah, sinusitis can be rough. My girlfriend takes Benadryl every night just to breathe.
Sam does that too, French said. It used to be just one, half a dose. But lately it's been two or even four. A second dose around 6 in the morning.
I hear you, Bloom said. But tell me about the Dremel.
Well, tonight, Sam starts begging with me, crying that she's in so much pain that she can't breathe, that she just wants to tear her head open to relieve the pressure. Do something, Chazzy. Sam always calls me Chazzy. Please, just make it stop.
So, And you decided to drill a hole in her head. Well, yes and no. See, we're both history buffs, and we've been reading this novel where a doctor recommends trepanning to fix a mental disorder. Bloom gave the guy a pointed look, and French elaborated. I know, acute sinusitis isn't a mental disorder, but she's my wife, and she's begging me for help, and what am I supposed to do? I wanted to use the power drill, but Sam suggested the Dremel, because it's not as powerful and be easier to control. Except it wasn't. Oh, it was. I downloaded instructions from the internet, so I had a guide. But see, the vibrations, they started to kind of... Well, Sam said it was a tickle. A tickle. And then she sneezed, and her head went forward, and then the Dremel was buried in her brain, still spinning it up. God, Sam! Samantha! I'm so sorry! Splattered blood mixed with tears as Chad French broke apart in front of Bloom. The psych consultant arrived, finally, and after a few soft words with the detective, and a few more, not as soft with French, she wrapped the poor son of a bitch in a warm jacket and guided him into the waiting van. The medical examiner, coming in from the other room, her expression grim and her ashy colour betraying her exhaustion. Accidental, she said to Bloom. He nodded. I figured. Anything else?
Yeah, we got to get these home trepanation instructions off the web. This is the fourth one this week.
And finally, here's me with my own reading of Forget Ophelia. We all know that rosemary is for remembrance. Ophelia made that bit of flower lore beyond famous. Easy to do, what with the dramatic exit she made. Drowning? Really? All right, there's never been firm agreement on whether her death was murder or suicide or... just an unhappy accident. But still, who doesn't hear the name Hamlet and immediately think of Yorick Scholar, that poor, waterlogged, crazy girl? I, on the other hand, died in the prettiest way possible. No, not alcohol. Not pills, either. Consumption. Oh, you call it tuberculosis these days. But when I was living, it was consumption. Now, consumption has some nasty symptoms. You become weak, and your body wastes away until your bones show and your eyes look sunken. And there's a horrible, hacking cough. But at the same time, there's a rosy glow to your pale cheeks, and while your skin becomes nearly translucent, it remains warm. Hot, even. And your lips? Your lips end up being vampire red up to the very end. Or at least that's how it was for me. It took a while. That whole dying gracefully thing. I had 3 different suitors bringing me flowers and sweets. Things to keep me interested. To keep me alive. But in the end, I never got beyond the occasional chaste kiss with the one boy I really loved. So, Ophelia can keep her weeds and herbs and soggy skirts. The flower in my hands when I was buried? The flower I carry now to touch the foreheads of innocent lovers in their dreams and wish them well? It's the white carnation. The flower that symbolizes purity.
Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written by Melissa A. Bartell under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike International 4.0 license and is produced using Bostock and Audacity. For show notes, music credits, and transcripts, please visit www.bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or you can send an email to Miss Meliss, M-I-S-S-M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, @gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.